taking in there for you to follow along and remember the message and apply it. That's what we're gonna do. This is the final Advent service, the final service before our celebration of Christmas and the next service on the 23rd. We know Christmas is a couple days later. And we've been talking about how Advent means, it comes from a Latin term, a version of a Latin term, meaning coming or arrival. And it's a time that we look forward to the arrival of Jesus. And we've been talking about how it's an opportunity for us to look forward to Jesus, celebrating Jesus' first coming, but also to remember that he is coming again, which is also a great reason to rejoice. And we've also recognized that this is a journey of joy and a journey of hope and a journey of peace and of love. And we've used the star as our guide on this journey. We talked about how in the book of Matthew, the Star of Bethlehem is actually just very briefly mentioned. But it's important because God used this to draw people to the new Savior, the new King. When I think about the people being drawn by the star, I think actually the cartoon version that we saw today in the Star movie did a better version than I see in a lot of other films that portray the scenes leading up to Jesus' birth, where it was a rough road sometimes. It wasn't always easy. Sometimes we read through the story and we think angel appeared and, you know, they marry Joseph and then they're in at the stable and it just think, you know, there wasn't any hassle in between or struggles or trials. And there were times that it probably was pretty smooth, but they traveled some distance and there were probably times it was really difficult. They likely met some friends along the way. They probably found some fellow travelers along the way as they journeyed to Bethlehem. They probably also had some people that they would have not liked to run into, that they had to deal with along the way, and including King Herod. But through all these circumstances and all these surprises on their journey, the star didn't change. The star, what the Lord had given them to guide them to Jesus, was constant. It was faithful. It was always there, no matter what their situation was, whatever was going on. And we're going to see that the peace of God for us is much like that star from God's Word. When I think of peace, sometimes I think of, there's an old hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." You guys probably know that one. It's one of my favorite responses, and when I say it in sincerity when somebody says, "How are you doing?" And I don't mean to be trite or take it lightly. It's a reason to rejoice. It's a reason to be really fired up because God's word tells me it is well with my soul, that the blood of Jesus has covered my sins and I'm forgiven, and that I have an eternal inheritance with him. And because of that, it's well with my soul. Not because I'm doing anything right or because my act is together, but because of who God is and what he's done for me, it's well with my soul. One of the neat things about that beloved hymn is the story behind it. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute, but I'd just like to share a few sentences here, a few lines from that hymn. "When peace like a river attendeth my way." And can you imagine that kind of peace? You're walking along and there's just this big river flowing beside you, and it's a river of peace. I mean, that's the peace as you go along your way. When peace is like that in your life, like this flowing river that goes along beside you. "When sorrows like sea billows roll." So it's a very different scene. Now, you know, I can imagine being on this old wooden boat from back in the day, and the sorrows and the struggles of life are just crashing against your way as you go along and bringing all this chaos and all this noise and all these difficulties. But the writer said, "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say." So he's saying, whatever my circumstance, it doesn't matter. Whether it's peace like a river or whether it's these incredible difficulties crashing into my life, no matter what's going on, it is well. It is well with my soul. What a beautiful truth in those words. It's amazing to really let that sink in. Because those lyrics communicate strength, and they communicate faith, and they communicate the steadfastness, the faithfulness of God, no matter what your circumstances are, that he is there with you, his presence and his provision. But the song, I think, has an even greater impact if you know a little bit about the history of it, where that song came from. So I want to share a little bit of that with you. Horatio Spafford is the one who penned those words. And he was a businessman in Chicago, a wealthy businessman in Chicago. And he, in 1873, one of his children had died of pneumonia. He had four other children, four daughters. And they were, he and his wife and the four daughters were going to go to Europe. But he had business to take care of back in Chicago before he could go. So he sent his family ahead of him on a ship. So they were traveling to Europe ahead of him. Well, while crossing the Atlantic, the ship sank. And he got a communication later from his wife that she had survived, but that all four of their daughters had drowned. He journeyed to Europe when he concluded the business. He was on a ship. And when they reached the place at sea where he thought it was close to where his four daughters had drowned, he wrote this song. He wrote those words. And it's amazing when you think about the pain that he must have been experiencing. And in the midst of that pain, writing, "It is well. It is well with my soul." It's just so, so powerful. Because when I think of those words, you know, I think enjoyment of life. Things are going pretty easy. Things are smooth. It's well with my soul. But this is somebody who found the truth in God's word. That because God is with us, we can have a deep peace that is a deeper reality in our circumstances. It goes so far beyond the midst of any heartache or struggles that we're ever dealing with. I think that's counterintuitive a lot of times. And I think sometimes we think, and I know there's times in my life where I think, when I'm praying for peace, here's what I'm praying for. Lord, take the hardship away. God, take away the struggle. I want peace. Take away all the noise and the chaos. Lord, take away all that violence over there. Take away all the mess. So that I can have peace. But this hymn just really beautifully captures the truth that the journey that we're on in life is not immune from that stuff. We all have to deal with those things in life that are difficult. And we find that in the Bible, one of the things I love about God's word is it doesn't shy away from that. That there's going to be struggle. There's going to be difficulties in our lives. But on this journey with Christ, we need to recognize that peace is not the absence of trouble, but rather the presence of God. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. Good to apply that. What troubles are you facing tonight? And what struggles are maybe weighing you down a little bit? You came in tonight, you were carrying a little bit of weight of something, or something that was some anxiety that's been just stirring in your spirit, or maybe some things that have been weighing on your mind, and you're having trouble pushing those out and being free of it, or whatever it is. Sometimes those are external pressures that we're dealing with, just circumstances of life, relationships with other people. Sometimes it's just internal stuff. It's just us trying to deal with us. You know, we get in our way. Just how we handle things and how we fall short and how our doubts and our fears and our whatever, our hang-ups, our baggage comes in. We've got to deal with that chaos and that noise in our life. And either way, it's real. You know, whether it's inside of us or outside of us, the struggles that we have, either way, it's the struggles that we're dealing with. But if we're willing to open our heart to the Lord in the midst of whatever we're dealing with, His peace can come into the midst of those struggles. Even if we're not free of those things, we can still experience the peace of God because we can open ourselves up to the presence of God. And when the presence of God comes in, it doesn't matter what the mess is. His peace comes with it. The more of Him we're experiencing in our life, the more we're experiencing His peace. I look around at the world today, and undoubtedly there's a shortage of peace, for sure, out there. And if you turn the TV on, if you talk to people at work or whatever, I mean, obviously there's a lot of anxiety out there. And I think about that first Christmas and the situation that Joseph and Mary were in. It was probably very similar in a lot of ways. There was a lot of uncertainty in their lives. They didn't have all the answers. There was a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of pressure. And then I think, you know, back to our time, man, those life is so fast-paced. And those pressures just, and anxiety just bombard our lives all the time, you know, new things. And our world is desperate for the peace of God. And we're desperate for the peace of God, too, for His presence. Well, the good news is, Jesus came, right? The great news is that the Prince of Peace came into this world, and not only did He come into this world, but He is with us now. But He is not absent. He's present now. And His peace, no matter what you're dealing with in your heart or in your mind or outside of yourself, in your relationships, or whatever's going on in your life, whether it's physical stuff or financial stuff or dealing with the past or thinking about the future, or whatever it may be, if we invite Christ to come into the midst of it, He brings His peace with Him. And we can experience that peace. So I want to ask a question of you. And you don't have to answer this right away, but I'd like you to answer this tonight. I want us to consider the peace that Christ is offering you specifically, each of you. And the question is, Jesus gives peace in the midst of what? Jesus gives peace in the midst of. And I'd like you to personalize. Like what you're dealing with right now. What you brought in your heart tonight. What you brought in your mind tonight. Where's the area where you're, just to be honest with the Lord, and say, God, I know you're offering me your peace, and here's where I need it. Because this is, man, this is where I'm not feeling. This is the area where the anxiety is tough to shake. Whatever that is. And write that in. Write that in that blank. And you can take time. You don't have to do it right now. If you want, you can take it over. You can pray about it. But Jesus gives peace in the midst of my whatever. Whatever you need His presence to bring that peace into. How do you picture the night Jesus was born? Again, I know it's just a cartoon movie, but we did a terrible job with some aspects of it. Growing up, I used to hear songs like Silent Night. You guys, I'm sure I love it. It's a great song. You know, all is calm and all is bright. And I think, you know, if that was what the first Christmas was like, it was probably like 1 second of calm and 1 second of bright. Because, you know, think about what's going on in Bethlehem. There's all these people. You know, because of the census and what's going on, there's these crowds, these hordes of people that have traveled these dangerous routes. They're weary, they're tired, they're agitated. There's, you know, these mobs, it's overcrowded, there's livestock everywhere. Right? I mean, it's a chaotic situation there. And Mary's going to give birth in an animal stable, in an animal shelter. And then soon after His birth, these visitors that they don't know just start showing up, right? There's all these people, and there's all these animals, and there's all this noise. And it wasn't too long after that, you know, you've got all the mess with Herod, and he's sending people to do harm and stuff later on, and they've got to leave. And then even the spiritual component, you know, you've got these angels show up, and they're just busting out songs and praises and, you know, it's like a Metallica concert. For the first Christmas, there is so much going on. You know, it is not calm. Externally, outside, on the outside, it is not calm. There is so much chaos and noise. I'd like to share this with you. This is from Luke 2. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared. A great company of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." That first Christmas was full of pain. It was full of hurt. It was full of chaos. It was full of noise. And it was full of joy. And it was full of peace. And it was full of love and hope. that sound familiar? That sound like everyday life? Our journey with the Lord through this Advent season is not free of mess. It's not free of noise and anxiety and all those things. But in the midst of it, Christ gives us peace in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the chaos. This is a song by Andrew Peterson. If any of you guys heard it, he's a Christian recording artist. Not real well known, but I've heard a couple songs on the radio. But he's got a song called The Rain Keeps Falling. It's really beautiful. I thought about playing it tonight, but I'll let you check it out. It's on YouTube. Excuse me. But in the song, he keeps describing the storms of life. And the words are so raw and authentic, and you can just feel the pain, you know, when he's talking about just the difficulties of life. And then over top of the lyrics, talking about all the struggles and the doubts and the fear and the hardship, over and over again, it just keeps interjecting these words over top of it. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. We know from Mark 4:39, these are the words of Jesus. I want to share those with you. And Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. So you came in tonight with some storm in your life. Right? Me too. And I think Jesus has those same words for the storms in your heart, the storms in your mind. And I think he wants to take those same words of Scripture, that same power, and apply it to you and to your heart and the storms and the winds in your spirit. Peace. Be still. Peace. And he quiets us in the midst of all the chaos. And he calms our storm that's inside of our hearts. And he brings quiet into all that noise within our mind that sometimes we have to keep shutting down. Because we just run through things and we need to go up and experience his peace. Sometimes our hearts feel so overwhelmed, and he's just saying, "Just let me give you my peace. Just be still." One of the reasons that he can do that is because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we need to recognize that tonight. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that's why he can offer perfect peace to you and me. The prophet Isaiah reveals something very important about this, and I'm going to share this with you. This is from Isaiah 9:6, writing about the Savior. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That is so awesome. Peace is not just a feeling. Peace is not just an emotion or a state of being. Peace is a somebody. Peace is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And throughout Scripture, as you read the story of Jesus walking on earth in his time here, you see over and over again these crazy situations going on, whether it was with demonic forces or just demonic people or just the junk of life. Jesus keeps entering into these situations and bringing peace to people over and over again. And he offers us that because through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is with us. The Prince of Peace is with you tonight. When we fix our minds upon him, if we let the truth of his word just speak to our hearts, we abide in his peace as we experience his presence with us. And we need that, because there are parts of our hearts that are having trouble sometimes to experience that peace in our lives. So in the midst of everything going on in your life, in the midst of all the things happening during Christmas, we can look back to that first Christmas and look at Mary. in Luke 2:19. It said, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And again, looking at that situation, you know, that first Christmas, Mary's life wasn't peaceful. She's a teenager. I mean, by most estimates, she's 13, 14, 15 years old. She is a young, young lady. And she's got to announce to her fiancé that there's this miraculous pregnancy. Pretty soon it becomes very apparent to everybody that she's pregnant, right? But she has this peace because she's learning to trust the one who's in control. It's not about what other people think. It's not about what she thinks. It's not about the situation. It's about knowing the one who's in control of it all. And surrendering that control to him. And he offers us that same peace tonight. That when we stop the worrying and just surrender to him, his peace is there. You know, when we stop all the striving, when we stop all the micromanaging, when we stop all the over-planning, you know, with things, and we stop trying to be in control of everything in our lives, and we just surrender to the Prince of Peace and say, Jesus, what I need is more of you. I need more of me worrying about stuff or figuring things out or solving all my problems. I need more of the Prince of Peace. We can rest in him. And we experience that peace, and it's for real. Sometimes the mess doesn't change right away. But we do. We experience in the midst of that peace because we know the one in control, and we trust him. We trust him because we know that he is the one who's sovereign over everything. So what is it that you need to surrender? What is it you need to stop trying to figure out and to solve and to work it out so you can have peace? Because you've got to fix the problem, right? Because to have peace, you have to fix the problem. The problem may not get fixed. Or it may. Sometimes it does. But either way, the peace is available. It's not about the problem. It's about Jesus. It's about his presence in our lives. I want to encourage you to encounter the Prince of Peace this Christmas. This is one of my I have a lot of favorite passages. This is one of them. It's on the walls, actually, up here. Be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Quiet your thoughts. Quiet your heart. Quiet your life. Just be still and experience the fact that he's sovereign, that he's God. I have a plaque. I think I got this. I was going to ask just to confirm because I'm getting older. My memory's not perfect. But yeah, my parents gave me this. This was around the time Holly died. Yeah, my first wife died from cancer. And I'm raising a baby. A miracle, but, you know, going through a couple months in the hospital. If you've ever gone through much of life, especially dealing with hospitals and insurance, I mean, a massive amount of financial issues that go along with that we were experiencing. Life was hard. I was only a few years out of addiction at the time. I had no idea how to cope with most of what I was dealing with. But my parents gave me this plaque. And it's beautiful in that it was a gift from them, but it's even more beautiful that it's a gift from God. Still. And we need to just let that settle in for our hearts and minds. And not lose sight of that. Just to trust in his goodness, not the change in our lives, which may happen. It's okay to pray for those things. And he does miracles. But regardless of that, trust in his goodness. Trusting his faithfulness. He's committed to you. If you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, he is committed to what's best for you. Trust in his faithfulness. when you do that, you just know that you know it's all mine. And no matter what happens, with all my fears, I'm an overthinker about stuff. I mean, and so I think about the good outcomes, but I'm also thinking about all the bad possible outcomes, right? I just think about everything. It's kind of like chess for me, you know, with life sometimes. It's tragic. Pray for me more. I just need to know, you know what? It's every moment. It doesn't matter how whatever it is turns out, whatever I'm in the midst of, regardless of that, Christ is with me. Emmanuel, God is with me. Amen. And he's holding on to me. And he's holding on to you. Peace. Be still. And I think when we receive that peace, when we receive that calm from him, it acts like a sentry. It's like a guard with a spear and a guard with a shield. He guards us with his presence. He guards us with his peace so that when fear comes banging on the door or doubt comes banging on the door, we can say, Christ is with me, I have his peace, and you do not belong here. Go. You don't have to live. John 14:7. I think I might have skipped that. It's one of the heroes in the world. Peace is part of a deeper reality. Peace is part of a deeper reality. And that deeper reality is that he is with us. In John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give you, he told his disciples. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Those aren't just empty words. Jesus is conveying a part of a deeper reality, a spiritual reality that's every bit as present and more real than the reality that we think that we're living in. Jesus knew, as he spoke these words, he knew what his disciples were going to go through. They were going to go through his crucifixion. They were going to be persecuted. They were going to be jailed and beaten. And they would have to live with fear and with pain and with anxiety every bit as much as you do, or I do, all the things that we struggle with. Jesus knew that when he spoke this to his followers. And yet he still says, don't be afraid. All this is coming upon you. And it's going to be tough, but don't be afraid. Why? Because he knows the end of the story. He knows that there's a deeper reality beyond what we're living through, beyond what we're dealing with today. And he knows that in the end, his peace is going to overcome everything. That all those things that are causing that doubt and fear and anxiety are going to be swept away and remembered no more. They're going to be gone. And he wants us to hang on to that. That deeper reality, that seeing things in light of eternity, that the world doesn't see, that the people who don't know Christ don't know. They don't have that understanding. That there's a day coming when all those things are going to be gone. We can experience that today, that peace, knowing that. We know that Jesus is faithful and true. This is another verse that a lot of times when I find myself, my spirit just kind of in turmoil, that I love to just let the Holy Spirit apply this to me and to my life. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. Some translations say those whose eyes are fixed on you. God, you will keep in perfect peace. This is a promise. This is a promise from the creator of the universe, from the one who redeemed you with his blood. This is a promise from him. If you are not experiencing peace, he says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on you, God, who are steadfast because they trust you. And if you're not experiencing his peace, I just want to encourage you to lay hold of that with a death grip. Like a pit bull, lay hold of the truth of that scripture and do not let go. Hang on to it. That is an unfailing promise, and it is made by the Prince of Peace. And he's saying, if you will fix your thoughts and your heart, and put those blinders on, fix everything on me. Don't worry about the next. Don't worry about you. He's saying, focus on me. If you will do that, this is a promise that his perfect peace, that goes beyond all our understanding, will be with us. We're going to worship the Lord with a couple more songs and then pray for us. But again, I want you to hear this. You know, I'm not him, but this is from his word, so hear this from him. Peace. Be still in your heart, in your mind. Receive that from him. Peace. Be still. And let that wash that stuff in the heart away. That needs to be washed away. And the Prince of Peace has come. And by his Spirit, he's with us. He's with us now. And we know that he's, in another way, he's coming again to this world. Praise God. But in the meantime, he wants us to have this assurance. He wants us to have this promise from him. And he's saying, you can experience my perfect peace. Just receive it. Just trust it. Peace. Be still.